This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And, of course, it's so good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. Today, in the first half hour, we're going to talk with Michael Quinn. He is the Chief Technology Officer for Encore Electric Delivery. He's also Vice President of Corporate Strategy and has a lot of really interesting updates for us on the reliability of our electrical services here in the North Texas area, and it's kind of a model for around the country. Encore is extremely good at what they do. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And we're going to have Diane Collier on here, too. She's going to come on in the second half. She's chairman of Metricon this year. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. All right, right now we've invited back an old friend, Michael Quinn. You may remember him if you're a regular listener to this program. He's Vice President of Corporate Strategy and the Chief Technology Officer for Encore Electric Delivery. Encore, as you probably know, is a major sponsor again this year of Metricon, of which we're giving extensive press coverage if you're a regular listener to the program. And we're very glad to have Michael back with us. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Talking with you is always so informative and really great updates. When we were speaking a year ago, there was some pushback on the smart meters, and that's kind of gone away. It looks like they're all working really good.
They are. Although you are correct, although there was some initial pushback, I think the majority of customers recognize that there's value to them as well as value to the utility of the installation. And one of the things that we try and really, really stress is it's the easiest way for customers to be informed consumers on which energy, which retail electric energy provider they sign up for. And so we really want to encourage folks to utilize that information. It gives them information about how much energy they use, when they use it, which months are heavier, and ultimately, we think that'll help them in the purchase of well, depending on their rationale or how they're biased. Do they want a green product? Do they want a nights and weekends free product? Do they want just a straight fixed cost product? All that information in the AMS meter helps them determine which of those programs or products is best for them, and so we ultimately think it helps them save money.
Well, I'm one of these guys who just takes the electric for granted, and of course it goes out, and then it's not taken for granted at all any longer, as we all know. But I don't pay any attention to this information, and I don't really get it in the mail. My supplier is TXU, and I get a little report, but it's not extensive, and I pay the bill, and I'm happy with it, what's going on. But then, if somebody wants to really do a study on this, is that available then from Encore?
It's actually available online. As part of the AMS, as part of the introduction to the AMS meters, all the wires companies that CenterPoint, Encore, AEP, had something called the Smart Meter Texas Portal. And all you have to have is your Easy ID from the front of your meter, and you can get on that portal and find out the same information that the retail electric providers utilize to bill you. You can have access to all that data. You can download it in an Excel file if you want to, or it's just there to look at. But it's, quite honestly, it's the tool I use when I look at shopping for my next retail electric contract.
Wow, that's fascinating. And it's interesting. I didn't know that. And I haven't seen it reported in any of the mainstream television or radio programs. So this is kind of new to me. I wonder if maybe a publicity campaign or something from someone, maybe Encore or the smart meter people or something, to let people know that this is available, because it sounds like a great tool.
It absolutely is a great tool.
And, of course, you were forewarned, I guess. I wanted to talk a little bit about cybersecurity, these smart meters and your SCADA systems. Supervisory control and data acquisition, for the listener who doesn't know what SCADA is. It's a very sophisticated way that the power companies and others can keep track of and keep things in line, keep things working. But the worry is that it's open to cyber warfare and cyber intrusions. And can you tell me how Encore is protecting against those things?
Well, Let me introduce a name to you that I don't know that I did last time. Joel Austin. Joel Austin is Encore CIO, and he has an entire team that's focused on security 100% of the time, 365 days a year. And so that team's been in place for a number of years. And quite honestly, Joel and that group do amazing work, and they're really good at recruiting talent. And so the same folks that are working with, and I'll throw out other industries, like the banking industry, that obviously the security of your accounts is incredibly important. Those type of folks are the same folks that we would want to try and get on our team. Is it a constant focus by the company? Absolutely. But I think Joel and that group do amazingly good work. But I will tell you, it's a topic of conversation very frequently, all the way up to Encore's board of directors. They want to have surety that what we're doing and on behalf of our customers is the right thing. So I tell you that the importance of it rides all the way to the top for Encore.
So Joel Austin, I think, is what you said. Does he report directly to you then as chief technology officer?
No, he's actually a colleague of mine. We both report to Don Clevenger, Senior Vice President of the company, but he and I are peers. If Joel handles all the IT and security-specific elements and the rest of the technology that would go on the grid, whether it's smart meters or sensors or intelligent switches, that type of infrastructure, that falls into my side of the house. So he focuses exclusively on IT, but in our world, the IT portion and the OT, or the operations technology, they're intertwined. Mm-hmm. In Encore's perspective, you don't have one without the other. You can't put technology out on the grid, whether it's in a meter or any other form, without thinking about the security elements of it.
Yeah, so of course many of us first learned about the SCADA systems back with the Stuxnet virus that attacked the nuclear program in Iran, and ever since that time, of course, it's been pretty much on the forefront. So it's heartening to know that Joel and you and others, and it's almost a daily occurrence, that security is right there at the very, very top. And the focus to keep our electrical operations going, electricity being so important for our medical equipment and for security. I'm talking about defense and for so many other things. I mean, you do an incredibly important job, and I guess those of us who, you know, throw the light switch and it comes on all the time, it's so easy to take it for granted. But quite frankly, it's nice to know that there's very close attention being paid to make sure that the lights do come on when that light switch is thrown.
Absolutely. Honestly, that's part of the pride that the company takes, is our intention is to enhance and truly provide that energy such that it supports the way of life that you want or supports your business. We see energy as critical to Texas and, quite honestly, the Texas economy. So we get excited when we see Texas growing. We see people moving here. We want to have the infrastructure, quite honestly, that helps new Fortune 500 companies think, hey, where do I want to go? Where is it reliable? Where is it cost effective? Where is it secure? We want them to think about Texas, whether you're a large commercial industrial customer or just a residential customer. We want you to think, hey, I'd like to be located in Texas. Energy's safe, reliable, and a good price point.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And of course, that was the next thing that I was going to get to after we left the question of security. But we talked about cybersecurity, but what about physical security? I mean, we had a couple of years ago a group of snipers in California that tried to shut off all the power to Silicon Valley for 19 minutes surgically. Using sniper rifles and taking out a substation. The redundancy that the power companies there had was able to get the power back going again, you know, pretty quick. But 19 minutes, they were there before the police even arrived. So physical security, are you worried about snipers?
It's something else that we focus on from a security standpoint. You can't talk about security without talking about both cyber as well as physical. And so Encore has several hundred substations and switch yards. And one of the things that, you know, people may or may not realize, that the electric grid, some people think of it as a grid, but it's more complex, like a spider web. There's connectivity all around the electric grid. And part of its resiliency is due to the ability that if, in fact, one part of the grid is affected, and whether that's through a physical attack or a weather phenomena, the grid is resilient enough to say, hey, I've lost that facility, I've lost that transmission line. There's enough capacity that, in fact, we can reroute power and keep folks' lights on. And so part of it's just the inherent design of the grid itself. I talk about it as that web, that complex web. But the other one is, I will have to tell you that in the last several years, we've gotten even more focused on physical security. Originally, physical security was thought of, hey, how do I keep people out of a substation that might want to wander into that facility?
Yeah.
So you did it with simple fences and those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you, we've gone a long ways since a chain link fence. Whether it's barriers in front of critical equipment or video monitoring or other items that if you let me hold them myself, we take the physical security of the grid just as serious as we do the cybersecurity of it.
Well, I know that that makes us feel better to know that you have the redundancy, and I think that surely has been the answer. But what many of us remember 2002 when that limb fell the tree limb fell on a power line in Ohio and shut off all the power to the Northeast for a while, and the redundancy in that particular case didn't work. Cascading power failure shut it all down. But you're saying we've come a long ways since then.
Absolutely. I think most folks refer to it as the New York power outage, although it did start in Ohio. At that time, you know, there was an investigation and enhanced standards were implemented by FERC and NERC, two federal organizations that have oversight of the electric grid. But additional or enhanced reliability standards were put in for all electric utilities, not just those in Texas. And so we play to an even increased scrutiny today. And so utilities are audited against those performance standards on a periodic basis. I can confirm that Oncor's been through those audits, and so we've done quite well on them. But they do everything from looking at, and one of the initiating events for the Ohio or New York outage, quite honestly, was a tree that made contact with the transmission line. That's one of those areas that Oncor is audited against and saying, hey, how is your, what is your vegetation management practices?
Mm.
Are you, in fact, keeping up with them? What do your records show as to when's the last time you went, looked, or reviewed that transmission line? Are there any encroaching vegetation management? But so there's vegetation management standards. There's operator grid training and performance standards. There's protective relay standards. So there's several different categories of standards, but we get audited against all of them.
Vegetation management standards and a whole crew, that's all they think about. Well, I guess that makes a whole lot of sense, and certainly not something that we think about on a daily basis, but we're sure glad that that you all do there at Oncor. One other thing, though, there's been a new threat that's come around in recent years. It's real simple to go ahead and get some get some explosives, they're cheap, and attach them to a drone. Drones are cheap. And have you given any thought to, you know, protecting against drone warfare with explosives landing in delicate places?
It as I mentioned, the greatest resiliency for the grid itself is the redundancy that we have from a capacity standpoint. And so although it would be incredibly difficult to, and I'll say, totally protect one switchyard or one substation on the grid, I will tell you that we think about those type of things with other facilities like data centers that house our important the important information that traverses over the electric grid, so we know that the status of a transmission line or a generator that's connected, mm-hmm. or a distribution operating center or a transmission grid management center. Those are places that we've taken, I'll say, we pay particular attention to how are those vulnerable. Drone attack would be really, really challenging, I'll say it that way, but I think we look at facilities along the grid and we try and prioritize which ones would be most impactful and how would we want to try and thwart a threat to those most critical facilities.
Well, a lot of us who pay a lot of attention to Homeland Security believe that the drone attacks, and not just a single attack, but in simultaneous in a lot of different areas, all synchronized to happen at the same time, is not something that is science fiction, but is something that is very real, and it may very well happen. So the question would be, is do we have a method for bringing these drones down before they do the damage, or are we just going to be relying on the redundancies?
I would say, let me answer it twofold. One of it is we do rely heavily on the redundancies, but those elements, and getting back to physical security a little bit, one of the things that Oncor specifically does is we have a physical security officer, essentially, for the company, and his focus is security. And part of his focus is our relationship with Dallas Police Department, Fort Worth Police Department, FBI, such that we're aware of when you have heightened threats. And so Oncor can do specific activities, whether from a patrol standpoint or a operational standpoint, if in fact we recognize via those relationships with those federal agencies and state agencies that we not just Oncor, but the energy infrastructure were to be at heightened risk. There are things that we can do, but I will tell you that we are heavily dependent upon those traditional resources that are there to, whether it's, I'll say, an act of terrorism or just somebody out there with their deer rifle. We partner very closely with those agencies to bring us that information and say, hey, let's be thinking about it in particular at this time because we have this type of threat intelligence.
Yeah, and it's that's, now we're going to get to something that you brought up a little bit ago, and that's the growth in the electric demand. I remember, you know, a few years ago, we had rolling blackouts. They were maybe 10 minutes at a time, but it was very, very vexing. During, I think, a cold snap we had sometime in December or something. But remember, we just get started in doing our work, and the power went out again. Of course, I realize that's an ERCOT problem, but it certainly affects you, too. And there is an incredible growth in electric demand in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What do we hear? That the 250,000 new people are moving into the area every year, and if at the same time we've got to supply electric to them, we've got to still do all these security things. So you're able to meet this growth, though. But how are you doing it?
So our ability to meet the needs of our customers, first off, I'd say it's a coordinated effort, right? Because when you do planning of an electric grid, you do it at the transmission level, you do it at the customer level, and you do it at the distribution level. And so you start having those conversations with folks. We recently had a Fortune 500 headquarters that relocated into our service territory. And that was going to be an 18-megawatt, you know, single-site load. Mm-hmm. And kind of put that in context. A megawatt of energy is enough to run 250 to 300 homes. And so you're talking about a very sizable campus that Fortune 500 headquarters was going to have.
Yeah.
And so we worked with them to say, what's your needs? Do you have on-site generation that you plan on offsetting some of your need from the grid? Is it solar? Is it another technology? And so I think we do a real good job of reaching out to our customers and not just making assumptions as to what their needs are. We actively plan with them to say, hey, how can we meet your customer needs from an energy infrastructure standpoint? And so I'm quite happy to say that corporate headquarters is being built as we speak, and Oncor's doing the right steps to serve them.
Well, new firms, corporations that want to move into the area are certainly not going to want to move into an area where they're going to have to worry about rolling blackouts. And, of course, we realize that, businesses are the first ones that the power is denied so that the residents and hospitals and things can continue to have the power. But can we be pretty sure that, I mean, are you able to assure the new businesses that are planning to move here that rolling blackouts are a thing of the past?
Well, let's talk a little bit about a rolling blackout. When that unusual event happens, typically that's not a situation where load growth was either unplanned for or unanticipated. Typically, when you get those type of situations, and I'll say they're quite rare, but when you do get them, it's because there is an unusual circumstance. What I mean by that is ERCOT has lost several large generators approximately at the same time. And it's one of them that's really important is the grid maintains a state of harmony, meaning you don't want to be generating a substantial amount of energy more than the load requires at that point in time. You want to have a little bit called spinning reserve, such that if you were to lose a generator, you still had enough generation capacity to serve the load.
Okay, we're visiting with Michael Quinn, Vice President, Corporate Strategy and Chief Technology Officer for Oncor Electric Delivery. I want to know a little bit more about that in the next half hour. So we'll take a break and be right back. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Yes, yes, Churchill, yes, Sir Winston Churchill. The farther back you can view, the farther forward you can see.